You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy Excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, Wall Street, Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Night after a bunch of preseason games, a lot of action we got to get into, a lot of news. Remember, I kept saying earlier in the week that there's literally no news to come out. It's like a boring week. We finally got some last night. But before we get into that, Scott, I'm going to need you to bend the knee.
What are you talking about?
Bend
you sound like Corey.
The knee. I don't want you to
bend the knee.
Bend
son.
The knee, please. 4-2, 5-4, 5-3, 7-5. Bend the knee.
Four game sweep.
Yeah.
Corey just found out about it.
Yeah, Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
How you doing, Scott?
Yeah. What's more important to me last night was like the takeaways from a lot of preseason games that we'll talk about, and
please stop.
Also, the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package live chat continue today at noon with Chris Ventra. Find out all about Amir Abdullah and enter the King at checkout for a very special discount.
So you're saying preseason football is now officially more important than the Mets.
You want my honest opinion about this?
That's what I'm asking you.
I probably have the least passion for the Subway Series that I ever did this year.
Huh.
Baseball, still fun to watch. There's a lot going on right now, especially fantasy-wise. We were talking about Byron Buxton starting to pick things up before the show. But, you know, as far as the – well, you know, the Yankees, are, if they're going to make the playoffs, they're supposed to win a series like that. So, yeah. Good luck to you guys.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
My fantasy team is really struggling. I'm having this great week in baseball. Not that anyone cares. I have this great week. I have like 8 home runs. I have 6 stolen bases. It's Friday. I'm like feeling good. I am getting absolutely destroyed. And I'm like, this is not fair. My opponent's OBP is 476.
Wow.
And I'm like, this isn't fair.
He must have
fair.
Inciarte.
He does, in fact.
Yeah. What a night for Inciarte in Colorado last night.
Oh, what a night.
Yeah.
Oh, what a night.
I knew Scott would love that.
That's what you hear at every bar in Long Island, like at 3 in the morning.
Sussman got involved.
I'm in,
New
man.
Jersey.
I'm in with you.
Then you hit Paradise by the Dashboard Lights right after that.
You are right.
Yep, right?
You have gotten the Jewish Long Island thing down.
It's not just a Jewish thing, trust me.
I don't even like karaoke, but we do have to get drunk one night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's do that.
Not karaoke. I'd like some, like...
I just want to see you sing, and I want to see Scott on
stage.
Why, am I
too good for you?
Yes. Yes. You intimidate me.
Come on, man. We'll do something together. We'll do. Come on.
You hear that?
And then we'll have Eric Young with us, and he'll be like, listen, like this. He's going to sing it today.
Matt Modica, you're in the house. We'll talk to you in a moment. A lot of stuff from the preseason from last night that I want to get into. Rodo Experts in the Morning up and running. Stick around. We'll be back in just a few here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turn fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
It was amazing. Just as we come back from break, Corey's like, oh man, I really wanted to talk about something yesterday on the program. And he didn't say it like that. I'm cleaning it up. But,
PG version.
Yeah. And it was really something I wanted to talk about yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to. I was like, well, that's great, because that's what we're leading off with. And that is the fact that, remember we sat here last week, Matt, and Corey and Scotty, and we're like, we inducted Mitchell Trubisky into the Hall of Fame. We felt awesome. We watched him. We saw this talent.
earlier this week, the three of us like, maybe he'll start. And Corey was like, but no! You know, a lot of yelling. Blake Bortles needs to be cut. Like, not benched. Not let's see how it goes. He needs to be cut. He is worse than Mitchell Trubisky. He is worse than, well, any starting quarterback in the NFL. If you watched Thursday night, the Jaguars play their first preseason, their second preseason game. Allen Robinson, who has fallen in drafts and kind of settled towards the end of the third round a lot of places, he is open every play. Like, he is a monster out there. The monster that we saw 2 years ago. He is healthy. He is back. He is open every play. And Blake Bortles cannot get the ball to him, whether it's in practice, whether it's in a game. Blake Bortles, guys, Blake Bortles sucks.
Well, I think Doug Marrone made that pretty clear in the press conference afterwards.
He did, where he basically said it is not Blake Bortles' job. It is a competition between Chad Henne, between Brandon Allen. It is the best player will play, and I can assure you, if he's being truthful, the best player is not Blake Bortles.
Do you know how bad it is when John Gruden, who praises everybody, to the point of being sickening, talks about there needs to be a quarterback change, and he does it, you know, as smoothly as he can without ripping Blake Bortles. When John Gruden says you need to be replaced on national television, that is bad. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it more. All I'm saying is Buffalo is rebuilding. Trade Tyrod Taylor to Jacksonville. That's all I'm saying. You know, if you do not
what
to Denver
and
San Francisco. I don't know, but the Bills are rebuilding. Tyrod Taylor would look damn good in Jacksonville. And well, you know, Bortles was through 5 interceptions in a practice recently. He was overshooting Robinson. He look, the first time, you know, he got sacked immediately, but you know, the offensive line got dominated on that, but he was scattershot all over the place. And you know, this is a new coaching regime where, you know, the Marrone's just going to be like, Marrone's an offensive guy, and this is not Blake Bortles. He didn't draft him. This is not his guy.
New coaching regime, same problem, Matt.
Yeah, well, we brought that up. Corey mentioned yesterday on Football Frenzy how, like, Allen Robinson was over, you know, was wide open in practice. Mm-hmm. He threw it, you know, out of bounds. And it's getting to the point where, you know, what else? There was something on Twitter that, like, Jalen Ramsey liked.
The Jalen Ramsey thing was crazy.
Yeah.
Bleacher Report put the article out. Six quarterback options to replace Blake Bortles. Jalen Ramsey liked the damn article. What the hell is going on? That's like beating an article out saying options to replace Scott Engel and me hitting like. You know what I'm saying?
You would have posted it.
Written by Corey Paul.
Yeah. Listen, the executive edge right now. I have my six options to replace Scott Engel.
Here we go. Bottom line is this. Colin Kaepernick is better than every quarterback on this team. Mm-hmm. Tom Coughlin, I don't know what his thing is. They got to bring this guy in here, or else they have no shot. Blake Bortles is effing horrible.
Yeah.
He is terrible.
Bring in Kaepernick. Nobody watches the Jaguars anyway. They're not going to care.
Listen, I have made plenty of arguments against Colin Kaepernick in the past, but there's just no excuse in Jacksonville. There is no excuse. Bring freaking Tim Tebow. He's better than Blake Bortles.
They should have signed Brian Hoyer or something.
Yeah, absolutely. They did nothing. You know how I've complained many of these? The Giants did nothing to address their biggest weakness along the offensive line. They're going back to Ereck Flowers, who stinks, and it's going to be the downfall of this team. Jacksonville Jaguars, the biggest downfall of their team is at the quarterback position, and they did nothing to fix it. They didn't bring in legit competition for Blake Bortles. If Chad Henne was legit competition, he would have started 2 years ago, right?
Hoyer could have went there.
Well, I mean, that's what Matt just said, right?
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick is still out there. And I don't think Kaepernick lights the world on fire by any means. He is a better quarterback than Chad Henne. He is a better quarterback than Blake Bortles. This is a team with playoff aspirations that believes, hey, they should get there. They cannot get there with Blake Bortles.
Why did they go after Cutler first?
Jay Cutler wasn't going to Jacksonville.
They might. Yeah, let me tell you something. Yeah, why
Cutler would have started.
He's not going to.
But he's not. He's going to go to some place that has a chance to make the playoffs. Let me tell you something.
Hold on. Jacksonville's got a pretty good defense. Good looking defense out there. Okay, and you know they got Fournette now. They got Allen Robinson. They got a nice receiving crew. You add a guy like Cutler, maybe they do make the playoffs.
Although Cutler would throw an interception, they would be 9 teams in the AFC that's better than Jacksonville.
Cutler's not a winner though. He probably would throw a game sealing interception and they missed the playoffs.
It's going to be better than what Blake Bortles not That's even going to get nothing to him. And they got Dante Fowler in that locker room too. You feel what I'm saying? Dante Fowler might eat Blake Bortles. You feel what I mean? Straight up. Because Blake Bortles is, yo, this guy sucks. He can't hit nobody. Overthrow, underthrow, wide open receiver. And he sits there last night after the locker, you know, after the game ends, he leaves out the locker room, don't speak to reporters. This guy's got, he might not come back today. He may be in right now. He's probably balled up under his bed crying.
Or he's in Fowler's trunk.
I know, Joey, it's true. Like, if you watched any of the game on Thursday night between with Jacksonville and the amount of throws Blake Bortles missed and the same stupid reaction, the same stupid problems, this team, how could Doug Marrone look his team in the eye and
you're
say,
not giving them the best chance to win with Blake Bortles as the quarterback.
Precisely.
You're not. You're letting them down with Blake Bortles as the quarterback. They need to be on the phone with Kaepernick this morning.
Evident. I think that press conference made it, you know, after the
game. They got to figure it out.
But Shanahan's got the answer. Shanahan sucks.
No, I got you, but he pretty much said that, like, the possibility of moving on from Blake Bortles is real.
You at least got to try and give Tony Romo a call and say, you sure you want to do broadcasting?
If Tony Romo going to play football, he's going to play for the Dallas Cowboys.
You're aiming too high. You're aiming at the inconceivable. You got to go to a guy that doesn't have a job. The guy that doesn't, not the guy that has making millions sitting in a booth. You got to go to Colin Kaepernick. That's the guy.
Yeah,
Well, Jay Cutler was making a lot of money sitting in the booth.
It's different. It's Adam Gase. It's the one guy you wanted to play for.
Right.
It's a little different.
Yeah, I mean, from how bad Bortles was, and like Scott mentioned about John Gruden, how he praises everybody. Yeah. John Gruden was putting Jameis in the Hall of Fame last night.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
He basically said J.R. Sweezy was going there, too.
O.J. Howard looked at the Hall of Famer Thursday night, too.
That's why they brought me here, Greg.
I actually got a comment about that line from you. The people like that line.
Like that? I just saw a piece of news. I just feel so bad for this Colts with this Ryan Kelly thing, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we'll get to Ryan Kelly in a little bit, but I don't care, honestly, what the stats say from a Thursday night. Like, I watched this thing with my own eyes, and I'm sure you guys did as well. It was such an embarrassing performance by Blake Bortles. Like, Allen Robinson, I feel bad for this guy now. I really do.
In a contract year.
In a contract year.
This is a contract year for him. He needs to, this will be his second deal. You feel what I'm saying? This is supposed to be his big money contract right here.
Correct.
And he's not going to put up the kind of numbers because the quarterback situation in Jacksonville is terrible. If you start Blake Bortles, you're letting these people down. You're letting their families down. You feel what I'm saying? They got a decision to make. And I tell you something, Tom Coughlin, when this guy Blake Bortles start throwing interceptions in game, Tom Coughlin head is going to pop off in the damn owner's booth. You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's not, Tom Coughlin don't play that great. Like, you know
he's
that.
You're not going to
be able to turn the football over with Tom Coughlin in there. It's not going to happen.
I could see
three things happening. Kaepernick, and I'll talk more about it when we talk about the Buffalo game. I would not be shocked if Tyrod Taylor ended up in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I'll throw it out there.
How is that going to happen, though?
What? Because the Buffalo Bills are obviously rebuilding. They sent off Sammy Watkins. They sent off Darby. They are obviously rebuilding.
The Bills
right now.
Tyrod
Taylor could make that team a playoff team. Could be the missing piece. The other thing, which they might not do, but you have to throw it out there, is could this team trade for Brock Osweiler?
Or whoever Cleveland gets rid of. I don't think that's a crazy thing I've ever heard either. You know, I think ultimately this problem starts at the top. This is a team that did not address their biggest issue, which is their quarterback. It's the same problem, and you know what? Same problems they left last season with. It's the same problem they have now.
Right.
It's their inability and the inefficiency of the quarterback. I understand the offensive line is terrible. I get that. Chris Ivory looked terrible Thursday night. Leonard Fournette comes back here. I can promise you there is no timeshare. There is no goal line back. Chris Ivory looked extremely terrible. So when Leonard Fournette plays, he's the guy. This is crazy.
What if I'm just throwing this out there, and you guys might react crazily, but I'm just going to throw it out there. What if the Bears say the future is now and Mike Glennon becomes a Jacksonville Jaguar?
Jacksonville not giving Mike Glennon $14 million. They're not going to pick up that contract.
I don't think that's crazy either, Scott. I really don't.
I think they're going
to be. They need a quarterback.
I think Jacksonville's a lot closer to the playoffs.
They
got that missing piece right there.
But the problem, you know, the thing with Tyrod Taylor is he looked pretty terrible last night, too.
Tyrod Taylor looked awful on Thursday night as well. 100%.
We know Tyrod Taylor.
I know. I understand. But, you know, I think the Bills would happily trade him and move on at the current state they're in right now.
Peterman looked good last night, too. They could commit to him for the future.
Yeah, we'll talk more about this Jaguars game because I didn't think Brandon Allen looked terrible. I thought he looked kind of good, to be honest with you. I thought T.D. Westbrook looked, like, amazing.
He did.
So we'll talk more about this Jaguars-Bucks game when we come back. Roto Experts in the morning, rocking and rolling here. We'll be back right after this.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Of the Jaguars conversation. Let's talk about some positives, right? Positives. Leonard Fournette's going to play a lot when he gets back from this foot injury. Anyone that was worried that he might not be the starter day one or not get the goal line carries, not an issue.
Chris How many Andrew's times terrible. They flash him in the press box last night?
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Did you find it interesting, Corey, that he was in the press box and on the sidelines?
Who's that?
Leonard Fournette.
That's not a good look.
I agree.
That's not a good look.
I don't like that.
You don't want to be that guy. You know, that's Robert Griffin's type stuff. You don't need to be down on the field with the damn team. Don't be sitting up in the press box with the... In the box with the owner. That's stupid. Then why would you do that?
It wasn't one of the owners. It was with a couple other players up there. Maybe it was like an injured player policy. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like when the practice squad guys, too, like where they sit like during the season, I think.
I could see Tom Coughlin having something like that.
Tom Coughlin?
If you're not eligible to be on the field, you gotta go upstairs. So yeah. That's like an old school kind of way.
Agreed. All right, so that looked good. I thought Brandon Allen, like I said in the second half, I thought he looked pretty good for Jacksonville. Listen, it's your second and third stringers. I understand that. He made some boneheaded plays, especially towards the end of the game. But I didn't think he looked terrible. I thought he looked competent. I thought D.D. Westbrook looked awesome last night.
Yeah.
Well, this guy was the Biletnikoff winner last year, D.D. Westbrook. Yeah. I tweeted out earlier when Marquez Lee hurt his ankle, and it sounded a lot worse than maybe it is.
Sure.
I was like, D.D. Westbrook, my new friend, and you know, he had that 42-yard touchdown last week. I understand it was against second teamers and stuff like that. But, you know, see somebody that should be a person of interest.
I agree.
But the question I have here is with Jacksonville's, I've been a big Leonard Fournette supporter.
Yeah.
But with him having the same injury that he had last season in college, which really affected him, he was a different runner from the season before where he dominated. This has to be concerning. I mean, I'm concerned. I would think everybody else is. I was never worried about Ivory usurping carries and stuff like that. But, you know, like Scott mentioned yesterday, if his wheel isn't working, that's a major issue.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now, of course, as of now, this means nothing, but as of now, there's no concern that he's going to miss week one. But if he stays out another week, all of a sudden there's concern, right? Like, it's literally that quick, that much on a dime, that it could change for Leonard Fournette. I don't think if you're drafting at all... Here this weekend that his price goes down at all. I don't think we're there yet.
But you should definitely consider it.
I agree
because
with
of
you.
Because of how bad that quarterback situation is.
It's true.
This is going to be stacked boxes because there's nothing that...
And their offensive line is terrible.
Biggest thing. Exactly. That's why I don't consider him an RB1. He's not an RB1 on any of my fantasy teams. I'd rather have him as a running back, too. I need protection if I have Leonard Fournette.
All right, so let me ask you the obvious question then, Corey.
Yeah.
Would you take Dalvin Cook ahead of Leonard Fournette?
Yeah.
You would. No, easily. Would you take Joe Mixon ahead of Leonard Fournette?
It's getting to that point.
I'd take both of you.
Because it's at a point now where, like you were saying, like, okay, don't bump him down too far just yet, but if it comes down to a tight decision between him and another player, you go the other way. That's the point that we're at. You're just hearing from the guys right now, this guy or that guy. And when there's an or with Leonard Fournette and it's a tough decision, you may have to go the other direction.
All right. So how, if you guys are already dropping him and you guys all already feel like there is major concern here, how far are we dropping? What are we talking about
here? I'm dropping. I had him at 10.
I had him at 10 as well.
I'm dropping him to like 15 because, like you say, he could be ready for week one. But if he's having this problem right now, I mean, is it going to go away? I was expecting circa 300 touches.
But isn't he not? But like, you're right, and I agree. But there's a chance he returns to practice Monday, right? He'll be back to practice Monday.
No, there is that chance, but the fact that this is even reoccurring is a really scary
proposition. I feel like you think, and I'm not saying you're wrong, Matt, that there's as good of a chance of him returning Monday as there is of him going to see Dr. Robert Anderson in North Carolina, this foot specialist.
Yeah, and even if they make him rest, say he rests the whole preseason and he's ready for week one, mm-hmm. what's to say he doesn't re-injure this?
Right.
We'll have to deal with this all season long.
Right.
And, you know, so I mean, for me, I mean, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, McCaffrey, Crowell, those guys definitely ahead of him. And like we talk about the bad quarterback and the bad offensive line, he's there with me with Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette, Todd Gurley. Bad quarterbacks, bad lines.
But do you not have Gurley ahead of these guys or no? Where's Gurley in your rankings?
Gurley and Fournette, I have pretty much, it's at 14. It's
14, 15 now?
It's pretty much a coin toss.
Yeah.
Who's your number 9 and 10?
Number 9 is, I have Elliott right there right now.
Okay.
I mean, do I pull that? Do I do that? I don't know. But 10, I have Cook, 11, Mixon, 12, McCaffrey, and 13, Crowell.
Okay, yeah. So I was just trying to look at the difference in my rankings. It's Elliott, I just don't have any idea what to do with him. I have him as 20 right now, and I probably should.
Yeah, he's just a wild card. You're gonna, whoever you have in your rankings, it's where you're
going to see him there and be like, oh, no. That's what's going
to
happen.
I have him at 9, and I'll probably move him to 16 looking at my rankings.
Elliott, you're saying?
You know, I'm talking about Fournette. And, you know, that moves Gurley to number 9. You know, the line was bad last year in Los Angeles, but it's gotten better. You get Whitworth, who is one of the best tackles in the league. You get John Sullivan at center, you know, who's up there in age, but, you know, a lot of linemen can still play well into their mid-30s, and, you know, that really helps Goff, and it helps the entire line when you got a general like that, like, calling the plays.
Yeah, Corey?
Yeah.
A general.
General.
Wow.
I'm saying what a general is a guy who really, like, leads a crew.
Like Earl Thomas.
Yeah, exactly.
Like me.
No, actually, Greg Sussman is the general.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
I want to take Gurley, but I'm still scared.
He's not an RB1 for me, but there's a lot of surrounding factors now with the line and better receivers, you know, everything that they've done. The support surrounding cast has become improved, so that makes it optimistic about Gurley.
Well, the thing is, if you subscribe to, like, Michael Salfino's zero bad quarterback philosophy.
Okay. Why don't you explain what that is to everybody?
Yeah, you don't want to draft, you know, running backs, receivers with that have bad quarterbacks on their team, because that's going to be detrimental. I mean, look at the Rams offense last year. So that's just going to stifle everybody around, you know, no matter how good you are. Like, look at an Allen Robinson. If Bortles can't get him the ball, no matter how dominant he looks, right, everything you hear from camp, he's been, you know, looking fantastic and all this. He could run routes, be wide open. If the quarterback can't get him the ball, he's of no use to nobody.
Now, that makes sense for Fournette, but I'd like to examine it and throw it out there in terms of Goff. When you look at Goff from last year, everybody's like, he's so bad, but, you know, and he had trouble picking up the offense. But now everything that was bad last year around him is good, because he's gotten better coaching staff. He's got McVay now, right? He's got better protection, and he's got better receivers. So it's not a thing of zero, is he bad? If he could at least get back to respectability, that's good for Gurley.
But he had one of, like, the all-time worst seasons. Look, can he improve? Do you believe in McVay? But I do want to see it in the preseason. I do want... Look, there's a tiny bit of optimism from week one, a tiny bit. But, you know, he's got to make a substantial move up. I'm hoping. I'm hoping this happens. I have some Sammy Watkins shares already, so I want him to be good. And stuff like that. But I'm just trying to be realistic here. We can't just... I mean, he was just epically bad.
I know, but what I'm talking about is getting respectable, right? And with football being a team sport, when you're epically bad, yes, some of it's on you, but what quarterback could have really succeeded, you know, in what young quarterback could have really succeeded in that situation? The line was terrible. Okay. He had nobody to throw to.
Say he wasn't the coaching number one overall pick. I mean, that's what I think is kind of saving him in people's eyes. I mean, Leaf was terrible. And, you know, just because you're a top pick doesn't guarantee you success. I get everything you're saying. I will give him a chance. But I also, you know, you have, and last year, Todd Gurley, there were times, it wasn't just the line on everything. He's got to take some blame.
That's absolutely
for stuff, too.
That's absolutely true. As bad as the line was, as bad as the quarterback was, as bad as the offense was, Todd Gurley was not good last year. This is not all on everything, everybody but Gurley. And I'm optimistic on Gurley, Scotty. I'm with you. Like, Gurley's my number nine running
back. I'm saying there's reasons for optimism.
Yes.
What Matt's saying is right. In terms of being a number one overall pick, yes, but I'm not even thinking of that. I'm saying, sure, can this guy keep the defense honest? And, you know, that I think they, you know, he's got the opportunity now. He's got to do it. He has to do it. And I think, you know, everything is set up for him to succeed, to be respectable.
Would you be okay with Todd Gurley as your RB1?
No.
Okay.
Top end RB2.
He's your number nine. He's your number nine running back, though.
I have eight RB1s.
What if you don't get one of them?
What?
What if you don't get one of those eight?
You know what? I'm probably going to have Dalvin Cook. You know, I'll probably wait. You know, and I can't have Gurley. I'll probably have Cook ahead of him.
Corey, you look perplexed.
I'll probably have him at 10, Gurley.
You got eight RB1s. Jay Ajayi is one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I don't like that.
So you feel free to disagree. Those are my rankings, not yours. I don't like it. I have Lamar Miller at 52.
Nice one, Scotty.
On the other side of this Jacksonville-Tampa Bay affair on Thursday, you had Jameis Winston.
Hall of Famer Jameis Winston.
Hall of Famer, according to John Gruden, and Jameis Winston. He didn't look good. He didn't look great. You know, I mean, he only missed eight passes. I thought he made some mistakes, I thought. Mike Evans dropped a touchdown. But he made some mistakes. He made some poor decisions, I thought. But the one thing I noticed in the passing game more than anything else, Adam Humphries is still involved very much so in this offense. And I feel like he's a name that we have not talked about because he's a third wide receiver. We know all the weapons they have in Tampa. In PPR leagues, you should not forget the name Adam Humphries. I just want to say that.
I think from a fantasy perspective, you have to be optimistic about the performance in certain ways because he was in a rhythm. And what I say is the best NFL quarterbacks do the ball of spreading the ball around a lot. And he spread the ball around nicely. Now, Jacksonville was without both of its starting corners. And there was, you know, Cutter had to pull him aside because he was getting sacked near the goal line and he threw this incredibly silly fling from the ground that got intercepted. From an NFL perspective, you don't like that about Jameis Winston.
It didn't count as an interception.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He didn't know it wasn't going to count. He threw it up. Jameis Winston's still going to be prone to turnovers, but he's going to throw enough that he's still going to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. From an NFL perspective, you don't want to see that.
We'll see if he finishes a top 10 NFL quarterback, a top 10 fantasy quarterback. When we come back, I want to talk about the other side of Tampa Bay's offense. That was the running game. And then we have to talk about Doug Martin again here on the Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Network, and Corey, I think we're going to have a conversation you're not going to want to have.
What's that?
I think we have to talk about Doug Martin again.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, ultimately, last night, Doug Martin rushed the ball. He scored a touchdown, but it wasn't even a touchdown so much that interested me. Doug Martin looked good. Like, he looked good running the ball. He looked spry. The offensive line looked good. He looked, I don't want to say Doug Martin of old, because that's all cliche, but he looked actually very good. And given, I'm not saying Doug Martin's Le'Veon Bell or Ezekiel Elliott or anything like that, obviously, but he suspended three games. That's not the entire season. And right now, he's going for a song. Corey, like I said, we need to reevaluate where we are drafting Doug Martin, because it's clear he's getting the first shot. He's going to play with the starters. And when you compare him to what like Jaquizz Rodgers did, like it wasn't even comparable. Like Jaquizz Rodgers looked terrible behind the same exact offensive line. Doug Martin looked awesome. It's a conversation we need to have.
Yeah, and let's have it, but let's keep our tone down about it, so okay. The rest of the fantasy community don't catch on to it, that Doug Martin could be a thing coming up from week four and going through the rest of the season, because he's going to be healthy because he's got this time off. And Doug Martin looks good. I got to be 100% honest with you. Doug Martin looks good. That's offense. We think it's going to be up and down the field. Yep. So he's going to have a chance to put up some nice numbers. So Doug Martin will be moving up in my rankings, and he's back in my draft, on my draft board. He has draft capital as far as the fantasy executive is concerned.
Last night, that's a pretty good offensive line. They were blasting open some nice holes for him, and he ran hard through them. You know, Doug Martin, there's two Doug Martins I've seen over the years. There's a guy that just, like, you know, tries to hunt and peck like on a typewriter, and, you know, is almost too patient, like trying to hit the hole. And this Doug Martin is the better Doug Martin that we see. Is more decisive. He's always been inconsistent because he'll have a big game and then he'll have a bad game. But if he runs decisively like that, you're going to have to like him. He is going to miss the first three games. You worry a little bit about his conditioning, like we talked about with Dr. A, but it's not a major worry, but something I got to throw in there. I got Doug Martin in the eighth round in the flex on Saturday, and I was pretty happy with that.
I agree. That's all going to change now, I think.
Yeah.
So that's great you got him in the eighth round. Matt, what did you see from Doug Martin last night?
Yeah, look, I said when there was the report, a week or two ago, that, you know, Doug Martin wasn't guaranteed his job, you know, when he came back from suspension. And I own zero Doug Martin shares currently, but I did state repeatedly that if Doug Martin looks good, he's going to be the running back for the Buccaneers. He's just much more talented than Rodgers. So, look, it's encouraging. There are other people have been on him. His price is obviously going to move up. I have to decide where am I willing to take Doug Martin. There's other guys that don't have a suspension that I do like, and I don't know, if he was, how high are you willing to pay for Doug Martin?
So that is the question. That's exactly what I want to get into. So I just moved Doug Martin up. I moved him up like 10 spots just now in my rankings. So he sits at number 36. So he sits on the cusp of the RB3, RB4 range, and I understand. So here are the names that I have around him. You let me know who you'd rather have. You guys ready? Mm-hmm. All right. Would you rather have Adrian Peterson or Doug Martin?
Doug Martin.
Okay. Matt?
I'll go Doug Martin as well.
Okay. Would you rather have Paul Perkins or Doug Martin?
Doug Martin. Every day and twice. Sometimes.
Yeah, I don't like Paul Perkins. I don't want him on that offense. I'll take the gamble on...
Next question.
I don't need you to answer.
You don't need me to answer.
Would you rather have Frank Gore or Doug Martin?
This is an interesting run right here.
I'm still going to go with Doug Martin. I'm betting on Gore. He has to collapse at some point, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. Look, I'd still like to have Gore if I the end of a tier and, there's nothing else left. But I'll take Doug Martin, because even though Gore's not going to miss any games and he may be steady again, it wouldn't shock me. I think Martin could be better than steady in some weeks.
Corey?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Doug Martin. I don't like what's going on with that whole entire Indianapolis Colts offense right now. So it looks like they're in a tough spot this year.
Would you rather have Darren McFadden or Doug Martin?
Doug Martin, because Darren McFadden might only start for six games, and Doug Martin will start for about 10.
I'm gonna go Doug Martin as well here. Darren McFadden. I understand it, but. It's close, but I'll go Doug Martin.
Corey?
Yeah, I'm going to go. This is a close one, too, because you got to figure Martin's going to. McFadden's going to be on the field when Martin is not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a toss. That's a coin toss to me. I can't make a kick.
You're going to have to.
Doug Martin.
All right, so I'm in the right. Yes, Scott.
Can I throw two out? And I want to start with Maddie on these ones.
Well, no, I'm kind of in a rhythm.
Okay,
here,
all right. When you're done, okay. If you don't get to
all right, let me continue on, because I think I'm in the right range here with the guys I'm throwing out here. Okay, Doug Martin or Rob Kelly?
Doug Martin.
I mean, Fat Rob.
I don't know if Kelly's going to keep the job the whole season.
Yeah, I don't think Kelly keeps the job. I'm in that same boat.
I don't know what y'all see in Sam Piran
But what is Rob? I just think
as a pure runner,
season,
I think he's more
like
talented than Kelly.
Have you seen him play?
I watched the film.
You seen him play, and you seen him play, and come on, you watched the film. What have you seen from him in the NFL, in the National Football League?
The same thing that I've been seeing in college
him, to make him a stash and cash play.
Because you put O.J. Howard in the Hall of Fame, he hasn't played a game yet. You can't say he's just a rookie.
O.J. Howard was drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. A tight end drafted in the first round of the NFL draft.
But going to be a part of a dynamic
offense.
Your logic is fallacy right now because you're saying the guy didn't play a game in the NFL yet.
You know what the reports coming out of Tampa are about O.J. Howard? That the kid can effing play.
But he hasn't played a game in the NFL.
Of Washington?
You're missing
about
the
Sam
point.
P-Rod? That he can't play?
You're missing the point, though.
Oh, my God, Scott.
You're missing the point, though. You're missing the point going on a rant.
I'm not missing the point. You're missing the point.
I'll tell you how you know. You're missing the point because what I'm saying is your logic is how can you say anything because he hasn't played an NFL game yet? We can say anything about any rookie.
Are there any good reports coming out of
Virginia
about the player?
No, but what I'm saying is, no, I admit that. No, I admit that. But this is August 18th.
And you're not going to be able to play him until October 18th. Is
right,
he worth it?
Right, right. I think eventually he's going to take over that job by midseason still.
He's more talented. So the two of you are willing to hold Sam Piran on your bench till week 8.
But this is about...
The
question was Doug Martin or Rob Kelly.
Yes. Yeah.
I think, as much as I'm not the biggest Doug Martin guy, I think he's got much more talent than Rob Kelly.
He's got more security.
I'll lean on that. And like I said, I'm not saying, look, P-Ryan has looked terrible for 2 weeks. It's not the end of the season. Last year, Matt Jones was the starting running back for the Washington Redskins. And look, Washington is not in love with Rob Kelly by any means. And look, you might be right. Rob Kelly might be the starter for the whole season. So I'll take the shot on Doug Martin, who I have seen put up some nice years. I'm not the biggest Doug Martin guy, I'll say that, but I'll go Doug Martin.
Even if P. Ryan doesn't pick up like the blitz and stuff like that, they could have a timeshare. And, you know, P. Ryan could get sprinkled in there too. And I don't think that'll happen to Martin.
So I think this is the first one that I have felt like I have Rob Kelly over Doug Martin. I think I'll have him back-to-back.
I don't have a problem with anybody doing that.
I think I'll have back-to-back. This is the first one I've thrown out there and like, okay, to me, I want Rob Kelly over Doug Martin. I've had Doug Martin over everybody I just named and continue to move him up. Let me continue. Doug Martin or Spencer Ware?
Doug Martin.
Doug Martin. I don't fool with Spencer Ware.
Yeah, I'm Kareem Hunt all the way.
Kareem Hunt or Doug Martin?
That's the one, yeah.
I'm going Kareem Hunt.
Scott?
That's a tough one because... But you gotta figure Hunt's eventually gonna get the job, and he's got upside. Both of them are not gonna start, I don't think, right out of the gate. And it's about who do you like more eventually, and I think it's Hunt.
Corey,
it's easily Hunt. Let's not get carried away.
Okay, here's the last one I have, and Scott, you throw out whoever you'd like.
Yeah.
The last one I have in this tier is C.J. Anderson or Doug Martin.
Doug Martin.
You
have Doug Martin high. You're gonna have Doug Martin as like number 28-ish.
You know what? I'm gonna say
really.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say C.J. Anderson for the fact that he has this role. I'm not a C.J. Anderson guy. I've not been the person even in the past when people were really high on him. But he has the job. There's really nobody there. I do think if Booker can come back, but from what Dr. A is saying, if he doesn't come back for like week 4. I mean, Jamaal Charles, that's not going to happen. It's just not.
Corey?
But let me ask you a question.
Wait, let me get Corey's answer here.
Yeah.
Doug Martin or C.J. Anderson?
Doug Martin. I don't draft C.J. Anderson. Doug Martin.
So for me, I'm going to have, and Scott, I'll get back to your question for Matt in a moment. For me, I have C.J. I'm going to have C.J. Anderson ahead of him. I'm going to have Kareem Hunt ahead of him. I'm going to have Rob Kelly ahead of him. So Doug Martin's going to settle in as my either 31 or 32. Oh, you just settle there. Scott, you definitely seem like the high guy here. You've said Doug Martin almost for everyone except Kareem Hunt. You have Doug Martin, as you said, about 25. That's
very
high.
I'm going to move up to about 25. Now, let me ask you two guys who rank C.J. Anderson ahead of him. When Martin's back, who do you think is going to have more job security when they're both there?
Well, it
depends on how. I mean, if C.J. Anderson plays well for 3 weeks, C.J.
He's got job security. It's very simple. C.J. Anderson's going to have a shot at this thing. Like I said yesterday.
I'm not confident in C.J. Anderson, but.
No. But he's got a shot at it.
Yeah, I think when Martin's out there, more confident in him.
Let's pull back a second, too. This was a preseason game. He looked good.
Absolutely.
Doug Martin has disappointed in the past.
Yes.
What if Doug Martin falls off the wagon, too? You know, starts hitting the sauce. Yeah.
Hopefully not.
I'm just saying.
But I think, Matt, to be fair, a lot of the times where he's frustrated and underperformed, we've taken a lot higher than we have to take him now.
I understand. No, that's my point. But, I mean, last season, what was it, 2.9 yards per catch? I'm just...
I get it.
I don't like CJ Anderson, but they do want to run the ball in Denver. I have a lot of Devontae Booker shares, so I'm kind of hoping at some point. But if you're asking me today, it's going to be if I had a draft, it's
I agree. Guys. Scott, you said you had one more name.
Real quick,
Matt.
I want to start with PPR. Doug Martin or Danny Woodhead?
Oh, it's Danny Woodhead.
It's Danny Woodhead.
Doug it's not Martin. Even close.
Really?
Yeah. If Danny Woodhead would stay healthy, yeah, it's like, you know,
it's the NFL. In my opinion, anybody can
hurt. Some players are more injury prone than others. It's a fact.
Doug Martin's had some
Danny Woodhead was like a number three overall.
Doug Martin's had some injury issues.
He's missed 23 of the last 37 games. Woodhead.
How many games did Doug Martin play last year?
Bless you, Danny Woodhead or Doug Martin? I'm sorry.
Danny Woodhead.
Okay, there you go. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the Doug Martin conversations in hour number two. Come up next.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
As I've said, I'm going to have Doug Martin about 31, 32. I'm kind of depending on Spencer Ware, honestly. Because I have C.J. Anderson ahead of him. I have Kareem Hunt ahead of him. I have Rob Kelly ahead of him. Spencer Ware is where I am at the borderline when it comes to Doug Martin. So we'll see there. A couple names I have a little bit ahead of him that I probably need to adjust.
I just found out something very interesting. Go ahead.
You're going to say it on the air? You're going to tell you during the break?
Huh? I play Scott week one.
Yesterday?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Well, this is going to be fun.
Corey pulled up Tony and drained that.
Will you please ruin it? Will you please end your I don't bet on things?
I don't care who I play, week one or week eight.
But week one, you're playing
the
exactly.
The opponent. I don't care. It means more to him than it does to me.
We will preview that matchup extensively.
Yes, that will be.
Coming up here on the Road to Experts. Okay, here we go. Let's continue. Doug Martin, this is a tier I have a little bit above. Doug Martin or LeGarrette Blunt?
I got LeGarrette Blunt. Okay. I'm going with LB. I'm going with LB. Scott, you have him in your top 15 soon, Scott.
I got to pull up. I got 25. I just said that.
I'm at the pull up.
I'm moving to 25.
So where do you? Well, hold on. Where do you have LeGarrette Blunt?
LeGarrette Blunt, I have in like the early 30s.
Early 30s.
Yeah. I'm in a PPR. I have LeGarrette Blunt.
So Doug Martin or LeGarrette Blunt?
I'm going to have to redo these rankings, but it's really close. I'll say Blunt right now, but I don't know if that's going to stand.
I'm going to say, looking at the way I'm going to rearrange my ranks probably tonight, probably going to have Blunt at 28 and probably like Martin at like 24.
Continuing to climb.
I'll have Martin in the high 20s, I think. So I think it'll be Doug Martin when it's all said and done.
Some origami for tonight.
You got to do some origami for sure. Yeah. All right. Doug Martin or Amir Abdullah? Corey?
Doug Martin. I don't. Amir Abdullah, highlight end of Amir Abdullah NFL career is a preseason game. run in the preseason game.
I'll take Amir Abdullah here.
You'll take Amir Abdullah.
I would like to hear this, Matt.
It's very close. Like Doug he'll Martin. Be like just behind him.
Okay.
But at least Amir Abdullah, they're going to give him the chance. He does have potential. The key word, potential. So I'll put him ahead.
Scott.
Doug Martin.
Obviously. Mike Gillisley. Or Doug Martin?
I'm going to go Gillisley.
Mike Gillisley.
Doug Martin. Carries the ball more consistently.
I mean, that's it. That's all I got. Because the other guys, to me, are I'll throw two more out there.
I got a couple because I want to see Doug Martin or Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde.
Doug Martin.
Get the
that's
hell
crazy, Scott.
Out of
put
here.
Put the helmet back
see,
on,
I told
Doug.
You. Here he goes. He got his cross and he's climbing that hill. You know what I'm saying? He's climbing that
meanwhile,
hill.
Meanwhile, you're right.
Here he goes now. Yeah. Here he goes. He's getting ready to put his cape on and jump for no reason.
Meanwhile, this guy runs downhill and ranks Tyler Eifert at 20 in tight end.
Here we go. Scott,
Lamar Miller at 50.
Let's keep it going because now I want to hear how good it's going to get. Doug Martin to Mark Ingram.
What?
Doug Martin and Mark Ingram. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Hold on. Doug Martin and Theo Riddick. Now it's my turn. Lamar Miller or Oleans Darkwa?
Lamar Miller.
Answer the question then. Doug Martin or Theo Riddick?
Theo Riddick in a PPR.
Wait a minute. You said you'll take Doug Martin over Danny Woodhead, but you won't take him over Theo Riddick.
Yes.
How much higher do you have Riddick than Woodhead?
About four spots.
So Doug Martin
says he's like right in between.
So Doug Martin's in those four spots.
Yeah.
I just don't get the Carlos Hyde. I mean, Carlos Hyde is good. I got Carlos Hyde at 16.
Same.
Carlos, to me, Carlos Hyde is still on a bad team, and he's an injury risk.
I think
Doug Martin is in the lineup, he's going to score more than Carlos Hyde.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, Carlos Hyde, a dozen career touchdowns so far.
I'll take the guy that's going to be on the field.
I'm looking for Danny Woodhead. I deleted Danny Woodhead out of my rankings by accident.
I think
it was intentional.
How many career touchdowns did you have Carlos Hyde? 12?
Yeah. Rushing.
12 rushing touchdowns?
Yeah.
Doug Martin, he had 11 in one season. That's a lot. But in his last four seasons since Carlos Hyde's been in the league,
I just want to make it clear, though, that I have them right next to each other, though, probably.
Fair enough. Yeah. When we come back, we'll get to the Bills here on the Road to Experts.